The scripture reading is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of their revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might be depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong."
We don't associate Jesus with weakness, but with tremendous strength. He endured temptations just shortly before his ministry began, where he faced Satan on that mountaintop and defeated temptation. And now it is coming to the near end of his life and this ministry that Jesus tells his disciples that he has to go to Jerusalem to die. And Peter tells him, "No, you cannot allow that to happen." And then Jesus replied to Peter kind of gruffly, "Get thee behind me, Satan." For Jesus to say that, the cross and the sins of the world must have been the greatest trial Jesus would face. Then that night would finally come. Jesus wanted his disciples to pray about not entering into temptation. The book of Mark tells us that Jesus was greatly distressed and troubled. In Mark 14 and verse 34, Jesus, he told Peter, James, and John that my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. And in the next two verses, Mark writes, "And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And then he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Luke gives us a little more detail at this time in the garden, just before Judas and the soldiers would arrive. In Luke 22, starting in verse 39 and going down to verse 44. Luke writes here, "And he came out and he went, and as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him, and when he came to the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more fervently. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." If this were your child, would you not do whatever you could to change the course of events? Even if your child's death would prevent the death of someone who hated you? God here saw the entirety of man's sin hanging in the balance. This Jesus was the one who God said that he was well pleased with. And yet, the whole world in its sinful state, God would allow the one that he was pleased with to die for us. What does that say about God's love for us? The cross is what Jesus must do. It was the very reason he came. And this was the hour. But instead of God saying, "I'm changed my mind," he sent an angel from heaven to strengthen his son. When does weakness equal strength? It is when our weakness drives us to the one who is our strength. Jesus knew his time had come. And now, being wrapped in strength with the help and love of the Father, Jesus would now be able to face Judas and the soldiers with the power that comes from the one who has given everything, given it over to the will of God. Not one time in his entire life did Jesus ever sin. And yet in the times like we just read, we can see with clarity that Jesus was one fully man, as well as fully God in the flesh. But unlike Jesus, we allow our weaknesses to lead us to sin. How many times in our lives did we give in like Peter did? If you would want to read Luke 22, 54 through 62, you will see what Peter did. How strong he thought he was, and now he allowed his weaknesses to deny his best friend. We, like Peter, we oftentimes face temptation, and we end up failing the very Christ who loves us. And oftentimes, like Peter, our sin may have driven us to weep in shame and remorse. But sin became what we choose in the moment. Weaknesses are simply places where we are the most vulnerable. If Satan throws his darts at us, he is aiming at those places where we are vulnerable. Those places where maybe we didn't put on God's armor as we should. Ephesians 6 and verses 14 through 17, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Somewhere along the line, we have allowed ourselves to forget to put on one of these things. But if we are to grow, we are to know the areas that we lack in our spiritual walk and make the changes necessary. Self-deprecation is not healthy, but self-examination is part of our Christian walk. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11:28 that we are to examine oneself. He said, before we eat the bread and drink of the cup, but I'm saying that we should examine ourselves more than just on this occasion. Our self-examination must be continuous and often. There is no need for any one of us to try to remove a speck out of someone else's eye while we are being blinded by the plank that is in our own. Matthew 7, verses 4 and 5. But our lesson moves away a little bit from Christ, and it focuses on Paul. In 2 Corinthians, he's starting to bring this letter to a close. And it sounds like he's going to bring it to a close by bragging about himself. In chapter 11, he had put himself up against these so-called super apostles. These men were nothing more than false teachers, agents of Satan, if you will. And he was sharing his credentials with the church at Corinth. But as he was sharing the credentials, it probably maybe sounded somewhat like bragging. But in chapter 11 and verse 30, he ends that chapter with these words, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." He begins the next chapter by talking about a man who was taken up into the third heaven. And as he tells this account in verses 5 through 7 in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except my weaknesses. And though I should wish to boast, I would not be the fool. For I would be speaking the truth, but I would refrain from it so that no one may think more of me and sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." How many times do we think that our aches and our pains are something from God to help keep us grounded? You wake up in the morning, your knees, they don't want to work. They hurt so bad you don't want to get out of bed. Do we ever consider thinking that God is using that to keep us from being come conceited? No, I don't think so. I think we just come to the realization we're getting old. Paul was asking God to do something for him, and it did not go the way Paul wanted it to go. Paul wanted that thorn removed. Paul does what many of us do in these times. He prayed. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. And he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And Paul says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." How many times have we prayed for God to fix us? Because we didn't want to do any of the work of repentance. Friends, God calls for us to surrender to Him. That we are to deal with the thorns in our flesh. We must admit our weaknesses. Now, Paul's statement, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me," grace was experienced by Paul the moment he acknowledged the need and his own inabilities. Grace that was extended to him was greater than the thorn in the flesh. It wasn't God taking away the thing that tormented Paul, but God letting Paul know that he was greater than that which tormented him. How many times are we listening when we pray and we're hearing God say to us, "Trust me"? Even when we don't understand. That's part of what grace is. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Where Paul says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong." This is where we should want to be spiritually. When we are weak, we are strong. And I guess maybe that's kind of like a strange and unusual statement. But Paul understands that strength only comes from the Lord. It is only when we face our weaknesses that we realize just how much we need God. And Jesus is saying to us that his grace is sufficient. The greatest problems we face are our sins. But God's grace is greater than our sins. When we are humble enough to come before him in repentance, we can rest in knowing that grace is enough. I'm not saying that we should brag about our weaknesses or as if we're proud of them. But we should brag about the cross and about the power of the blood of Christ that is greater than all of our sins. I believe that we stand before one another as those who desire to walk in the pathway of righteousness, as one who seeks to live in step with Christ and the Spirit of God, and as ones who rely on God's grace. We are saved. And the day will come when we will be at home with the Lord. And we can thank God for what he has done and live in the joy of knowing that we are in his hands. And I think the proof lies in that garden, that God truly loves each and every one. Because I don't think I could allow my son to die for anyone else. But God did. Where do you stand in his presence today? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you sat and thought about your Lord and Savior and making the decision to turn your life over to his? I hope today will be that day. It will change your life forever. It will give you a new way of looking at this world. But it also will give you the pathway to life eternal. If this is your hour to obey the gospel, we pray that you will come. And if you need the prayers of the congregation for whatever reason, the invitation is for you also. come as together we stand and we sing.